Welcome to Netflix and Spill, episode 2. This one's all about US sitcoms. I don't know if people have seen, but we put a poll out on Instagram about US sitcoms, whether we thought they were better than the UK ones, and our favourite ones, one versus the other. I know I'm being a bit cryptic at the moment, but I don't want to spoil anything for later. That's the main bit that we're going to be talking about. For most of the show, but first is the usual bit of news. Now, Ella has unfortunately had a bit of a busy day, so I've prepared all the TV news. Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know, because you said unfortunately. I wasn't sure what was going to come after that.
Well, yeah, I've done the news. Oh, the first bit of news is about RuPaul's Drag Race, the final. Do you want to put your fingers in your ears
for
this bit?
No, I've seen a spoiler, so...
You know who wins?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Well, on this Thursday... the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race UK Season 2 was...
Spoiler alert!
Lawrence Chaney beating Bimini Bonbula.
Oh, is that Joe. Anyone that watches Drag Race right now will be cringing in their seats or wherever you are. No, it's Bimini Bonbula.
Bimini Bonbula.
Yeah, not Bimini.
I don't know.
Good effort, yeah.
Also beat... Ellie Diamond, I can say that one, and, yeah. And Taze?
Taze, yeah.
I don't remember Taze. I've seen it vaguely, and I don't remember what she looked like.
She's quite...
A scripter.
Strong... Well, no, I think she's got quite a strong look. Like, I think you'd recognise her when you see her.
Well, maybe. Anyway, that happened on Thursday, big event in UK TV. In more sad news, UK-wise, Caroline Flack, who obviously... died in 2019, I believe. Obviously, sadly, took her own life.
It was 2020.
Oh, was it 2020? Yeah. Okay. Well, her family have just announced that there is a documentary about her life coming out. They're not saying exactly when, but it will be coming out soon on Channel 4.
It's already out.
It's already out?
Yeah. I've seen people posting about it. I've not seen it myself. It's on my list actually, but as far as I know, it's out because people have spoken about watching it.
Well, that's up to date. How up to date I am with the news. But anyway, she wanted to make a documentary back in 2020, early 2020, to clear her name from obviously the allegations that that fell upon her. But unfortunately, she died before it could be made. So this one is about her entire life rather than just, you know, the small bit at the end, which was obviously quite troubling for her. So, I think it's on Channel 4, if I'm right.
Yeah, it came out on the 17th. It was on Channel. So that was Wednesday, yeah. But it was on Channel 4, yeah.
Okay. Professionalism. Also in sad news, this was sad to me because I remember quite a lot. I don't know if you recognise it, but Top Gear star Sabine Schmitz died of cancer, age 51. She was known as the Nürburgring Queen. Famously drove like vans around the Nürburgring, just drove everything really fast around there, was like a sort of presenter for some of the later seasons. I think for one of the later seasons, she was one of the presenters. But yeah, she'll be sadly missed. In just as sad, well, oh my God, I can't say that. In less sad news, but still sad, there are a number of BBC titles that are coming off Netflix in March and April. Yes, no way equating to someone dying, don't worry. Don't come for me for that. This includes The Thick of It's coming off. Dr. Foster's coming off. The Vicar of Dibley's coming off. Ooh. Only Fools and Horses is coming off. And The Office is coming off. Way more stuff. A couple of outnumbered specials coming off as well. Along with a few other things. This is the British TV's march towards BritBox. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird because we're supposed to get these live streamy sites. Not live streamy, like these... internet sites to watch everything on demand, so that we didn't have to pay loads of subscriptions like for Sky and all that stuff. But now we're paying loads of subscriptions just on different stuff.
Yeah,
to watch everything you'd have to have a subscription to Disney, Netflix, Amazon and BritBox, and like there's even ones like Hulu, HBO Max, like all that stuff.
Sky
plus
Go,
then all the sports
Apple.
Ones there's just so many now, it's getting a bit ridiculous. We got into this sort of thing where we'd be like, oh, we can only survive on Netflix, and no, we can't. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Makes me a little bit anxious that all that's happened is everything's moved subscription wise from the TV onto the internet. now and is more dispersed than ever. But anyway, on Netflix, actually, there's going to be a Jeffrey Dahmer story, documentary or docuseries, I'm not sure yet, describing his life and obviously his crimes. It'll be starring either Jacob McCarthy or Jordan Renzo as Jeffrey Dahmer. It's expected to go in production next week, actually, in LA, and will be released in spring 2022. I know I'm definitely interested in that because I'm a true crime buff. I always like to watch them, and I've heard little bits about his story. I know that he's like definitely the horrible serial killer and all sorts of horrible things that he did, but you know, I'm always interested in that stuff, so we'll see about that. Last bit of news is those people that love Marvel, because this week the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I think it's actually today, we're recording this on Friday the 19th of March, it's come onto Disney Plus, and it follows the story of the Falcon, Sam Wilson, and the Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes, who sort of going on adventures together. That, you know, they fight, well, they do what every Marvel character does, they fight some kind of enemy, whether it be in the world or out of this world. And it's set after Avengers Endgame, so you get to see some of the fallout of that movie as well, which should be really interesting. Right, that is the news. I mean, there's so much to talk about in TV news every single week, but that's our little summary for now. Definitely some interesting stuff in there. Other things we didn't mention is stuff like, you know, Bake Off's been up on every Tuesday. Stand Up for Cancer and The Circle just ended as well. That was Stand Up for Cancer. So there's all sorts of stuff. So make sure you check all your TV guides for everything. Oh my God. Let's go to the main bit of the show.
Sorry, before we do, can I just do a cheeky shout out to my nana because it's her birthday today. Is that allowed?
Go on then, yeah.
She's 82 and she's loving life, you know, despite everything.
You know this is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, I do know, but... So, okay, my nan's birthday is 19th of March. So yeah, happy birthday, nana. I've spoken to you today already, but I'm sure you'll be delighted to be on Nottingham at University Radio Nottingham because she came to Nottingham to study 60 years ago, and that's where she met my granddad. So on the badminton team. So yeah, it's quite a nice little story there.
Very cute. Before where you are even existed, that was.
Mm.
When's that? Like the 1960s?
Yeah, I should know this.
She
was born in 39 and she came when she was 18, so.
Maths, late 50s.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, yeah, shout out to your nana. I'm glad, I hope she hears this.
I'll tell her to listen in, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, on to what we're talking about, which is sitcoms. There are 86, apparently, ever sitcoms, according to IMDb. Doesn't seem actually that many.
No, I thought there'd be more.
But they're relatively recent. There were a few in the 1970s, and then much more of them I found when I was looking through were 90s and later, and then the real explosion in the early 2000s and mid-2000s, and now that we've got tons and tons, especially the US. It sort of started on the UK scene and then came to the US. And I already had a rant downstairs, a little one, about the top-rated ones on IMDb, and I don't know if you heard who was top, but...
Oh, Modern Family?
Yeah, Modern Family's top.
Yeah.
Friends is second. And Big Bang Theory is third. Now, people listening at home who have opinions on this, you know, please rant and send me an email about why that is stupid or whether you like it. joe.wilkerson@urm1350.net. I'd be interested, actually, to hear whether people like this. Like that order for the top three, or what else would you have in there? A few surprises on there. I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine was like the 54th or something. I thought that was quite harsh. Below some real rubbish, which kind of shows IMDb might not be the best indicator of like what is actually good.
Who decides the ranking for IMDb?
It's just like fans voting, so they vote for what they think is the best. Real TV buff here. Sorry, you're just looking at me dead in the eyes.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You don't know how IMDb works.
No, what you mean by real TV buff? You're talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know how the rankings work. I thought maybe it's like
No, it could be
the
critics.
Independent, yeah, critics or whatever.
No, this one that I saw was ratings by the audience anyway. No, it's a fair question. I was being a bit naughty there. Right, let's go into the meat and bones of this discussion. Why do you think people like sitcoms? Because there's no denying it. They are ridiculously popular as TV programmes. They're probably some of the most popular TV programmes in the world, like Friends and Big Bang Theory. You know, those are two of the highest amount of earnings for a TV actor ever. Wow. You know, millions of pounds. You know, I remember at the end, most of the Big Bang Theory main cast won $1 million per episode.
Mm.
I remember Kaylee Cuoco, if I believe that's how you say her name, is Penny, definitely was.
Mm.
Jim Parsons was as well, and I imagine some of the rest of them were as well. So, you know, that's big money, which means they were getting big ratings.
Mm.
So why do you think they get such massive ratings?
Well, I actually saw on social media the other day a post about, like, why sitcoms or why, you know, your favourite TV shows that are good for your mental health and why sort of we're sort of drawn to those when we kind of want a bit of comfort. And I think it's a lot to do with, from what I can remember reading as well, it's because, like, they're easy to, like, you don't have to, you know, concentrate and think a lot. You know, it doesn't really challenge your brain too much. It's enjoyable, and it's also, like, not predictable. Well, it is if you've seen them loads. Like, I can watch Friends over and over again. Even though I know what happens, I still laugh. And sometimes, because you know what's going to happen, it's that comfort of knowing, you know, when there's so much uncertainty around the world, like, you've got that sort of, as like, a consistent, you know, thing to keep you going. And, sorry, I've just lost my train of thought. But, yeah, and, like, you know, nothing too scary is going to happen and things. And I think one of the main things is that they're just relatable, aren't they? Like, there's always a character that you can relate to or a situation, and they put that comedy element in there, which just sort of makes life feel a bit easier, doesn't it? And, you know, you kind of... I always think, like, as well... Sorry, I'm rambling, but in real life situations, sometimes when I'm, like, struggling or unsure what to do, I kind of think back to, like, a character, say, for example, from Friends, and be like, oh, yeah, but, like, Monica wouldn't do this or thingy. And I think to myself, like, Ella, they're not real. They're characters. But you still, like, I don't know, you just kind of feel...
Attached?
A bit, yeah, or just, like, they could be real people. You know, it's not so far from the truth. Like, yeah, they're obviously, like, their personalities are... you know, out of proportion. They're obviously, what's the word I'm thinking?
Exaggerated.
Yeah, exaggerated. But still, like, it's nice to sort of have those characters there to sort of, yeah, be there at the touch of a button, if you will.
Yeah, I'd agree with most of that. Just, like, the comfort, I think, is a big thing. And the fact that for most sitcoms, we're talking downstairs, actually, with the rest of our house about, you know, what is a sitcom? Well, I think one of the main components of a sitcom is that you can pretty much dip into any episode and you can pick up what's going on really quickly.
Mm.
Like, it's not like they're not massively plot-based. The episodes are kind of self-contained as well. Like, one of the best examples is The Simpsons. There's no real plot there. Every episode is kind of in and of itself.
Mm.
And I think that makes it very good for comfort watching, because you can just turn it on, random episode, whatever, and you know that you're not going to have... There's no obligation to watch another episode. There's no obligation to pay tons of attention. Like you said, it's just kind of sit there and just soak it in as a sort of... Yeah, as a way to turn off, tune in out at the end of the day. Maybe have some laughs, which everyone always loves to do. Comedies always do really well.
Mm.
And not have to think too much of, oh, what's between the lines here? You know, what does that mean? What's that symbolising? Oh, is that a plot twist that's going to come later? You know, oh, they've done that there. You know, is that going to come back later? All that kind of thing that you're thinking about when you're watching these highbrow TV shows, you know. The Game of Thrones of this world, you have to be on your toes every single second you watch it, otherwise you will miss something, and that miss something will have a big, there will be a big plot point later. Other shows like, you know, Walking Dead are of that kind of ilk where you have to pay attention because they're so fast moving, so much is going on. It's kind of crazy, whereas these ones, it's not so much about that, and I think that's why people really do relate to them. The next question, which is very much related, is what do you think makes a good sitcom? Like, is it a good plot, or is it a good character? Is it a bit of both? Is there more emphasis on one than the other?
Yeah, I guess that's a tough one. I'd say...
Good comedy?
Sorry?
Good comedy?
Yeah, well, sitcom is situation comedy, so you've got to have, you know, the funny in there. But I think, yeah, character is a big one. And I think these days with so many sitcoms that where a lot of them are quite similar, it's getting harder to make those characters unique. So I think the more unique that character, that can also be funny and relatable, you know, that really sets them up to be a good candidate, I guess.
Yeah, I think 100% it's all about the characters. The plot is not... It's relevant, but it's not... It comes secondary to the characters. What you remember about Friends and Modern Family, like, Modern Family is a big example of it. Can you remember anything that actually happens? Like, any of the plot points? Like, can you remember any of the characters and what they actually do? Because I can't. And I watched it very recently. They get a new job occasionally or something, but there's no real...
I mean, I feel like I can remember some milestone points, but nowhere near as many as, like, Friends, for example, where I feel like Friends, the storyline is very... is quite concrete. You know, everyone knows sort of what happens.
Yeah, but...
So I think Friends is a good example of really great characters that are all very different and also a great plot as well.
I disagree.
I do think Friends is that. Why do you disagree?
Because I don't think Friends has a plot for most of the episodes. Most of the episodes are based on... it's hard to put it, but it does have a plot, but because it's 10 seasons long, 24 episodes or whatever every season, there's going to be inevitably some plot movement in 240 episodes, but no way is the plot moving on every episode, or maybe even one in three.
Yeah, but you don't want it to move every episode that quick. And I think that makes it even better, the fact that it's got a great plot. Anyone that's watched Friends, you know what happens. You know there's the Ross and Rachel thing, Chandler and Monica. Like, you just, you know, you've got to admit, you know more what happens in that than
Love
and
Family.
No, you do. But the fact that you know that, what happens across all 10 seasons, and then you can just dip into an episode, you don't have to know what's happened before, and you can just enjoy it in its own episode. I think that's really what makes it, my number one anyway, is the fact that it's got a longitudinal plot, but also dip in, pick a random episode, you'll enjoy it. You don't have to be like, oh wait, what happened last episode? I've never thought that in Friends.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, it's character-driven, not plot-driven.
Yeah.
What are the real differences between the first episode and the last episode? I said there's more similarities than differences there. They're still in the same apartments. They still go to the same coffee shops. They're still all friends with each other. They still... You know, Ross still fancies Rachel. You know, they still have those friends dynamics. The characters are largely the same. Some of them are, like, together now or with other people. But nothing drastic has changed from the first episode to the last episode, I would argue, other than a few things. Like, they're big things, obviously, a marriage and a couple of kids and someone getting off a plane and, like, that's me, obviously, they're going to make a little bit. But, like, nothing happens. Like, I know I'm arguing, I'm being, like, really pedantic, but I think it's important to say that if you're writing a sitcom and tons of stuff is going on and there's a massive plot movement, and loads of different things are interconnecting and you need to pay attention the whole time, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
This is all character-based. You don't remember, even though there is plot in Friends, a little bit, you remember the characters. The characters are the show. Modern Family, the characters. Big Bang Theory, the characters, because, again, not a massive story-based show. And the characters in themselves have to be good, and as you said, they have to be different. I think that's one of the main things that makes a sitcom, is you have very contrasting characters that all play a different role. They're not necessarily your three-dimensional, complex, shades of grey characters that you have in dramas or like sci-fi or whatever. They are, for the most part, very one-note. And I know you argued with me for saying this last week, but it is, I think, largely, Joey is the dumb one. And, you know, he has a lot of relationships and a lot of women. Chandler's the funny, sarcastic, depressed type. Monica is the OCD, sort of, neat freak, overbearing, competitive one. Rachel, I said she was a bit of a nothing character last time, a bit harsh. Rachel is the sort of, oh no, I said she was ditzy, didn't I? She's, Rachel's very hard to sum up, I'm going to miss her, but Ross is like the boring one who's also a bit sad, who's a bit over the top sometimes, and Phoebe is just the weird one. And they play all those roles, and it kind of comes together in a symbiotic thing, which makes it such a good show to watch. Because if you had six characters that are all the same, it'd be really bland if they all agreed each other the whole time. But the fact they come to life with different viewpoints and everything, because they're such different people, makes it what it is. The show, fundamentally, all sitcoms are fundamentally about arguing, in my opinion.
What, the characters arguing with each other?
Yeah, so take Modern Family. Cam, every episode is Cam and, oh my god, I forgot his name, Mitch fighting about whatever stupid thing. It's Gloria, Jay, they're always fighting about basically Jay being old or Gloria not being American. It seems to go around those things. Phil and Claire usually fighting about something to do with the kids, or Phil's done something stupid. All three of the kids are always arguing. It is an arguing-based show. Same with Friends. They seem to argue about everything. It's not necessarily massive arguments, it can be little spats, but it's always arguing.
Can I just go back to the character analysis in Friends?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, I just feel like people listening who have the same opinion as me, or more so opinion as me than Joe, will be screaming at their speaker right now. Because, yeah, I get, like, I agree with you on the fact that, you know, the characters are great and the show works and things like that, but I do think that there is more to the characters than just being the one note, like things that you describe them as. But I'm just going to roll off a few examples here, just as a counter-argument. So, Ross, interestingly enough, yeah, I used to think he was the boring, annoying one. But as I've grown older, like, my opinion on the characters have changed, and I think that's quite normal, because I started watching it when I was like, oh, I don't know, 11. So it's been a good decade or so.
Awesome.
And, And I think as you grow up through life, like as I grew up watching them, you sort of, yeah, your opinions on them do change. And I think that's important to sort of realise why. And I think, you know, Ross is very academia driven. You know, he's passionate about his job as a paleontologist. And, you know, yeah, he's a bit nerdy, but I quite like that about him. It's quite endearing. As annoying as his personality is, like, that, you know, he's not just the boring one. And, like, an easy one to say is Chandler, who, yeah, he's the funny one. He's funny and sarcastic, but it goes down to, you know, his family issues with his parents, and
yeah,
he's got, you know, sorry, I just blanked out, but,
no, I didn't.
You know, like, it's sort of a like, his sarcasm is a reaction of, you know, his childhood. And then Monica, the, you know, she's very clean and tidy and, like, a bit, you know, manic and stuff. But, like, you know, yeah, she used to be overweight and then lost loads of weight quite quickly and stuff. Yeah. So that's, you know,
sorry,
there's a lot to analyse there.
No, I'm not saying there's no depth to their character at all.
Okay.
I'm saying that, yeah, their personalities are explainable. But when a situation occurs in Friends, you can guess how every single one of them is going to react, because you know who they are as a person. And in real life, people don't always react to everything the same. They react to things in different ways, and they don't do that in Friends. You know, you can't predict all the time how everyone's going to react, whereas in Friends, you can, because that's what makes it, that's why everyone loves it, because it isn't really fundamentally change, because people don't really like change, I don't think.
Yeah, or the changes that do happen are so gradual, yeah, that they happen over 10 seasons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think...
I just wanted to make my point.
No,
you know,
I understand
they're not
it.
Just the one-word adjective character.
No, but I wouldn't say they're that much more than that. Like, as much... I'm not... I do like Friends. I've watched it. It's not my favourite, but I do like it. I don't think it's some set-piece show that's a masterful in the creation. The characters are good and relatable, and that's why everyone loves them.
Mm.
Past that, I don't know if it's anything special. But you don't need anything else in a sitcom, really, would be my argument.
Okay, I'll disagree politely.
Next question. We put this out to the old Instagram, but I'll ask you first. US sitcoms, are they better or worse than UK sitcoms? So I'll read a few off for US. So we got Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Parks and Rec, Always Sunny, Office US, How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory, Friends, Modern Family, Family Guy, The Simpsons, Futurama. For UK, we've got The Office. I saw Yes Minister. I saw... oh my god, what other ones did I saw? I saw The Office UK. Did I already say that one?
I don't know.
And now I've obviously blanked on all of them. But The Thick of It, for example. All those kind of shows. Which ones do you think are better?
It's difficult because I think that the humour is very different.
Fawlty Towers as well. Sorry, that's one of mine.
And I have to say, I haven't seen as many UK sitcoms. So I think, I don't know, it's hard because I love British humour, but based on just sitcoms alone, I'm going to have to say US.
Yeah, I would agree.
Just because I've seen more of them. Like, I'd say I prefer the British humour because... I think one fundamental difference is that British humour uses more sarcasm and it's a bit more dry. A lot of Americans don't understand British humour sometimes. And I also think another thing is that, like, British comedy, it kind of... it shows more... the story tells more of, like... I'd like to say, like... like real life hard times, and it makes it comedy. Whereas US is more light hearted and funny, you know, and the British one is more like it's showing the struggles of life, but makes it funny.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree that US is more funny. Definitely not. I would say UK is more funny, and I agree the humour is more dark. More sarcastic, just more nuanced in basically every way in the UK, because the US, this is an indictment on US people, but US audiences don't want to think about the jokes. They want them to be smashed in their faces. They don't want to be hit over the head with slapstick humour and fart jokes and, you know, that's what she said type jokes and all that kind of thing. You know, haha, isn't she, aren't they doing that like a girl for a man or whatever? That's the kind of humour they like. And that's reflected in their comedy. Friends, jokes, to be fair, they're the one of the clever ones. But, you know, Big Bang Theory jokes, they're not great. Even Friends jokes, they're not, like, particularly highbrow. Then you go to, like, Yes Minister, Peep Show, The Thick of It, those three. A lot of their jokes are very highbrow, you know. You have to be really up to date on pop culture and... a lot of them politics to get the jokes in those three especially.
Mm.
But I find them cleverer, but yeah, I just think the amount of US ones, Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well, like, there's just too many US ones not for me not to favour the US. I think a lot of people will be swayed by the UK Office. And I don't know, maybe just because we're British, so people favour them more. I'm sort of giving away what people on Instagram thought. A full 65% of people that voted on our Instagram preferred UK. And so that's 35% preferred US. So that's actually quite a big difference, really.
Mm.
Quite a big split when I made it. I find that incredible, to be honest. I do. I can't understand it.
Well, I think that...
Wait, I can't understand it. I'm agreeing with it.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
What don't you understand? Why people would choose the American
one? No, why people choose the UK one. Sorry, that's what... Why the UK got so high.
I think maybe it's like people want to, you know, be patriotic or something.
Possibly.
But I think a big difference is that the reason that I said I prefer US sitcoms is a lot to do with the fact that there are just so many more episodes. Like, just thinking about, you know, Big Bang Theory, was that, what, 20 seasons or something? Friends is 10 seasons. How I Met Your Mother, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like, so many American seasons run for so many episodes. Hundreds of episodes. And I'm trying to think of UK sitcoms now. Which one has, like, more than 100, more than 50 episodes? Well, do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of them have, each season will have 10 or less episodes.
Yeah, I think The Office was at 2 seasons with 5 or 6 episodes each. Mm. Think of it was 4 seasons, with the first season only having 4 episodes. Yes, Minister was a bit longer, but like Fawlty Towers didn't run for that long. You know, even stuff like, I don't know if there's a sitcom, but like Inbetweeners and stuff, that didn't run for very long. UK ones
don't
just
have
don't. Like Extras as well, that didn't run for very long.
Maybe, yeah, and I don't know why. Maybe because it's more like condensed, like the jokes are more condensed into the episodes, or there's not as many adverts. Because in UK ones, they tend to be slightly longer, don't they, the episode length?
They do, yeah. They cater to people that would rather watch an hour than 20 minutes. Like, that's one of the things about sitcoms everyone loves, is that for the most part, they're 20 minutes, and they're very bite-sized, and you can just watch one here or there.
Yeah.
But the UK, thinking about it, the longest one I can think of is Peep Show, which is 9 seasons. But, they're only like 5-6 episode seasons.
I've just thought of a couple. So there's Outnumbered.
Yeah.
That's got a few episodes.
Not many, like 5 seasons.
Is it not?
5 or 6 seasons. It's honestly not that many. You think it is because they age quite a lot, but honestly, yeah. If I had to guess, it would be no more than 5 seasons or
what
6
about
seasons.
About Vicar of Dibley?
Yeah, that I wrote that one down.
That was on for a while. I didn't even know that was on Netflix, so I'm sad that's coming off, because I didn't know.
At the end of March, sorry, so not yet.
Okay.
But yeah, those are just some of the ones.
Oh, another one, sorry. I've just thought My Family. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I did. Great show. But again, I'd be surprised that was more than 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah.
It wasn't on for really long. Thinking about it now, when you bring back those, there's sort of a emotional response. You feel all sort of warm when you think of the UK
nostalgic
ones. Because you just... Maybe it's because we're British, so we can relate more to them. But they're just so, like... Just... Look, when the sitcoms are based on disasters as well as arguments, like, things always go wrong. With British ones, they always take it reasonably well, and it's always a bit, like, sort of sad but funny. And that's kind of like what it is with My Family and Peep Show and all that. It is just so relatable, but, like, in a... It's hard to explain, actually. In a more real-life way than US ones. Like, I can relate to Ross and Rachel, but like they're not similar to me in a way. I'm just like, oh, that's how I'd react to that. But the characters in like,
yeah, like
sitcoms.
I think I'd sorry, I cut you off there.
No, that's fine.
I'd describe it as like with Friends, yeah, you relate to the characters or a situation. But say for example, Peep Show, like you can literally imagine those characters as like being your neighbour. They could be your neighbour. Like,
yeah,
that's how sort of close to home it is.
I completely agree. Which makes them good. Now I'm thinking maybe I'm switching to UK now, after we thought about it some more. But what we're talking about US though this week. What is your favourite US sitcom?
My favourite US sitcom, it has to be Friends.
Why? I mean, we've talked about it quite a lot, so maybe briefly summarise.
I think just because, like I said, I've watched it for over 10 years, and I still, you know, I will never have too much of it. I just think it's an all-rounder for me, you know. It caters to basically everyone, and when I you know, don't have anything specific to watch, or say if I'm just at my friend's house or having a cuppa, like, if if either one of us just say, oh, should we put some friends on? Like, we'll never say no. Unless there's something else we want to watch. Like, it can, it's always sort of a, like a backup. It, you know, it never fails to entertain or to comfort. And I think as well, like, on days when I'm feeling quite down or in the past, like, it does just... It cheers me up because it just, like you said, it makes you not have to think about things and you just, like, it's a form of escapism, isn't it? And it's just... It's nice. Yeah. It's, you know, it's easy watching. Favourite episode? Oh, I don't know. I might have to say...
Put you on the spot here.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
I think for me, one of my favourite ones is the second part of that episode where they sort of go... It's like a counterfactual type episode where Phoebe's like a stockbroker...
Oh, yeah.
Monica's fat. Like, I can't remember how that even starts, but why that even comes about.
It's like, I can't remember what it's called, like the one where, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Something.
Big thing at the beginning didn't happen, and then all of this
sort of happens. Or the one that could have been.
Yeah, the one that could have been. I really enjoy that one, and I enjoy the, I don't remember any of the titles, but the one where they're getting ready to go to Ross's.
That one I thought of, you know, because I remember I watched it with my dad, who he's quite harsh on TV, like on anything really. He doesn't, I don't know, he's got quite a weird taste. And he was just howling the whole way through and he just said, like, oh, it's such an easy watch, isn't it? And I just remember, because I think in that whole episode they don't leave the apartment.
No.
And, you know, that's what makes it so great is that, you know, they just... It's all sort of film. It's all sort of like real time.
I'd like to know how many takes that was actually taken in.
Mm.
Because it didn't feel like it cut all that much. But yeah, as you said, they do, that's one of the only episodes where they do everything in real time. And you can sort of... It just feels like something that would happen to everyone. That's one of the most relatable episodes, which is probably why I like it. Yeah. It's just so ridiculous in some ways, like, you know. Joey wearing all of Chandler's clothes, which is just weird. My favourite sitcom is How I Met Your Mother, US sitcom, which I've watched 3 times all the way through, I think. Which probably isn't as much as you and Friends, but who knows. And that, we put that to a poll. I wanted to see what everyone else thought of our choices. So what do you think won?
I think Friends won. I'm going to go with Friends. What did you put it between Friends and How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, what percentage?
Oh, I'd say... I think it's close, you know. I think... Yeah, I'm going to go for like 60-40.
60-40 on Friends.
Mm.
It is 70% Friends, 30% How I Met Your Mother.
How many people voted?
Oh, we can't reveal that.
Oh, right.
Oh, we can. 46.
Okay, so that's a decent amount. Well, guys...
Yeah, we've got the exact same amount voted for the first one and the second one, but I don't know if everyone, if they were all the same. They weren't. So some people voted for the second one and not the first one, which is weird, and some people voted for the first one and not the second one.
I do that sometimes on polls when I can't decide or I'm not bothered about doing that. I don't know, though, but they're, like we said, they're so different. I like them both for different reasons.
Yeah.
Why is How I Met Your Mother your favourite?
Yeah, actually, I just love... This is going to sound stupid, but I just love the episodes. Like, they're very self-contained. There is a... Oh, God, how am I going to word this? Yes, they are mostly self-contained, the episodes. And they're mostly quite fast-paced episodes where there's an inbuilt storyline and different threads of that storyline converge into a sort of ending that is usually quite satisfying where they all converge and it's really good. And they're not too ambitious with what they want to do. They're kind of self-aware that they're a sitcom and sitcoms are a bit stupid, a bit wacky, you know, a bit unrealistic. And like a lot of times they make things deliberately unrealistic. And they make things look bad on purpose. So, like, there's this bit where Marshall's trying to outrun a bus and it's, like, he's clearly on a green screen and it's just, like, they clearly did this on purpose. There's a bit where, like, Marshall and Lily go down this, like, the garbage chute into this bin and you can clearly see that they've just put dolls down the garbage chute and smashed into this bin. Like, it's just so...
Can I just say one that I thought of as well? Well, it's not, like, well, things that look bad, but it's just, like, more unrealistic than, say, Friends, is, you know, like, when Barney and Robin just break out into that dance that's, like, obviously fully rehearsed, but it's just, like, so spontaneous. I love that. Like, yeah. It's so obvious that that's what it's supposed to be.
I mean, Girls Versus Suits, that song at the end, where they just do a massive song for no reason, and then, oh, it's just ridiculous. But the characters are good. The characters are good, but they're not the strongest, I would say. They're not as strong as Friends. They're not as strong as Modern Family. They're stronger than Big Bang Theory. We'll get on to why I don't like it. We'll get on to that.
Okay. I'd say, sorry, for How I Met Your Mother, when it first came out, I sort of, like, I just didn't like it, even though I hadn't watched it, because I was just like, oh, they're just remaking Friends, because it's like, they always meet in a place and whatever. But then, from watching it, like, it is different enough to not be a remake.
I would
like
say it's very different from Friends.
It is, yeah, it is.
The tone's different, the jokes are different, the characters are fundamentally very different. The plot points that they follow are really different. Saying that, Ted and Robin, the will they won't know.
I think...
You know, Marshall and Lily could be Chandler and Monica, but still, I think they're different enough.
I think a fundamental difference is that Ted narrates it.
Mm,
that's a big thing. And it always confused me, because I always knew it wasn't quite his voice, but it sounds a bit like him, and I was like, why don't they just get him to narrate it?
Yeah, it's a guy called Claude something. And I had to look this up because I was like, I swear this guy isn't the same. They used a different guy. That's mind-boggling. Why wouldn't they just use Josh Radnor's voice to do it? That's so weird. Like, your voice hasn't changed that much in, like, 10 years. He's only supposed to be, like, 10, 15 years older.
Yeah.
It's weird. But, no. Yeah, the characters aren't so strong. But, as I said, they're good enough. Robin is a disappointing character for me.
I ask, what do you think... What makes a strong character for you? Because I don't understand why you think that they're not as strong as, say, Modern Family.
Yeah, so what I think makes a strong character in a sitcom is very different to what makes a strong character in other things. Well, fundamentally, they've got to be funny, like, as a character.
Okay.
And I don't think How I Met Your Mother is the funniest show I've ever seen. I don't really remember laughing too much at it. The characters are so unbelievably one-note that it is insanely predictable to know what they're going to do next. Except for maybe Ted, because he's just strange. But Ted also isn't my favourite, and I don't think he's many people's favourite, and that's weird when it's from his point of view. That he's not necessarily the most lovable, but sometimes that might work for some people, but in sitcom it is a bit strange. And they're just a little bit, like, Lily and Marshall are just a little bit bland, and so is Robin. Like, not really bland, they're just a little bit bland sometimes. And they're not the most memorable or striking, and I think you definitely need that in a sitcom. Barney is striking, maybe in all the wrong ways, but he's at least the funniest sort of weirdest character that you're always going to remember. You know, it's not always a bad thing to sum up the characters in one or two lines. You can't do that in How I Met Your Mother, because what's Lily about, really? It's hard to tell, because she can be a bit bland and boring in some places. But no, I do love it, and it's because of the story, or maybe not the story, maybe just the structure of the episodes and the plot that goes on within each episode that make it what it is. So it's a very different sitcom, I'd say, to other things. And I understand why some people might not like it, because I really do think it has to be your cup of tea for you to like it. So you're writing something down, was that?
Yeah, just so I remember to come back to your point. So, because what you said about you don't really like Ted, or, you know, he's not that likeable, I think that's quite normal for, like, the main character not to be the most liked. What came to mind is Grace.
Yeah, Grace. Yeah.
So, like, Meredith Grey, she's none of our household's favourite character. No, and she narrates the show too.
No, you're right.
So I don't know if that's something, like, a common theme in shows that's done on purpose.
Maybe, but, like, in The Simpsons, Homer's the main character, and everyone loves him. So, I know it's like, and like Family Guy, Peter Griffin's the main character. Everyone loves him. Like, it's just, yeah. It, I think it's odd. Like, Sheldon is the main character in Big Bang Theory, really. Him and Leonard. Okay, whether you like him or not. Like, he's a,
I
he's
think
one
everyone
of the more,
does love Sheldon.
He's one of the more likeable characters in the show.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a bit weird.
Know. It's strange.
In
yeah.
other shows, it makes sense because there might be a complex character. Thinking back to, like, The Walking Dead, you know, Rick might not be loved by everyone, but, you know, that's not the character's point. The characters need to be loved in these shows, or hated, I suppose. If you're kind of a bit eh about them, I think they've done it wrong.
Mm.
It's all about emotional and, like, responses, I think. I don't know if I'm rambling and talking rubbish, but yeah, that's what I'd say. Are there any shows you don't like, sitcoms-wise? I mean, you probably can't talk too much about it. Or ones that you might hate watch, or don't think they're very good, but you still watch them. Because obviously, if you didn't like them, you probably didn't watch the whole thing.
To be honest, I can't think of any that come straight to my mind.
Shall I just talk yeah. about Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, I'd like to know why you don't like it, because I really enjoy it.
I've watched it all twice, right?
You've watched the whole thing through twice?
Yeah.
See, and
I enjoyed
really
it.
Like it.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it.
Right.
But I think it's bad. Really
okay.
bad.
Okay.
Because I think objectively, I said earlier, Friends isn't an amazing show, but I don't think it's a bad show. I don't think How I Met Your Mother is a particularly good show, but again, I don't think it's a bad show. Same with Modern Family. They're not bad. They're just not great. Big Bang Theory is bad. Like, objectively is bad. The characters are bland as hell, in my opinion. They are just there's kind of nothing to most of them. And the ones that there are anything to, you just don't really like. Howard is just not likeable. He's kind of a bit disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Leonard is okay, but he's just so whiny, it's irritating.
Yeah, I don't
Raj is just bland and pointless to the story. Stuart, pointless to the story. Amy feels like she could be a good character, is terrible. Penny is an unbelievably frustrating character. Bernadette, so irritating, it hurts. And I think that's actually all of them, to be fair. And it's just... and Sheldon, he is probably the most irritating of all the characters.
I think Sheldon carries the show, in my opinion.
Sheldon carries the show, but he in himself... is okay and can come up with some comedic moments. I don't particularly love him as a character because I think he's irritating and he's almost overacted to like a point where it's a bit ridiculous. But I think it's the jokes that they make about Sheldon. Haha, Sheldon doesn't get social norms. That's the whole show. That's the whole show summed up. Haha, Sheldon doesn't understand what's going on. How can that be a basis for every single joke? Or... the jokes are, women are different, aren't they? Ha 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 ha. We're nerds, ha 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 ha. I mean, there's a great video on YouTube that I've watched from the Pop Culture Detective, and it's about half an hour long, so it's a bit long. But he goes into, like, the nerd culture within Big Bang Theory and how it's, like, really toxic.
Mm.
Because these guys that are insecure men all are, for a start, really creepy. I don't know if you've watched the first season again. Howard might be one of the most creepy characters I've ever seen on TV. Like, literally disgusting. And, up there with Barney, I'd say, as grim. But Barney does it in a more lovable way. Howard's just disgusting. Because for Barney, you feel sorry for him. For Howard, he's just grim. But then they sort of become friends with girls, and then they see their social stature rising. And so then they just kind of... joke on each other about, well, at least they're not girls type thing. You know, girls are clearly inferior. They don't... sort of misogynistic type jokes that are constant in Big Bang Theory. Which are constant in Friends as well, if you watch it back. Friends isn't unbelievably aged well. Not terribly, but the sort of misogyny jokes aren't great. And that really did put me off that video. I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not great. Again, plot. Rubbish. Rubbish. Terrible. What happens? How do the characters change? They don't. I know I said the same about Friends, but at least Friends have the characters to back it up. Big Bang Theory don't. The characters are terrible. Please, please, please email me again at joe.wilkson@urm1350 .net if you like The Big Bang Theory or not, because how do you like it? It's so catch-all, it hurts. It's so stupid, it hurts. It's all about scientists, and the jokes are so basic. Sorry, there's no nuance at all. Do you get where I'm coming from?
I do, yeah, but then I think, why did you bother watching it all the way because through two times? Because
I did enjoy it, but I don't think it's good. And I know that sounds stupid, and I know I'm trying to make myself sound all clever and like a critic because I'm like above it, but I'm not above it because I watched it and I enjoyed it. It's the same reason I think Love Island is a terrible programme that ought to be criticised, but I still watched it. I didn't watch last year, but I watched the year before.
Mm.
It's just the way it is sometimes, I think, with these shows. But I don't think I'm going to be watching Big Bang Theory again anytime soon. Mm. Because now that I've noticed all these little tropes, it's like Modern Family. I tried to they put a new season on Netflix. And I watched it and I thought, I can kind of see through this now. This is not as great as I remembered. If you binge it, then it really does show how weak they are as shows and how they are rushed writing-wise.
With Modern Family, I'd say as it's got older, or in the newer seasons, it's just not as good. I don't know what it is.
That's every show ever.
No, Modern Family for me sticks out because.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
It just. I don't know. It's hectic. You know, Modern Family, it jumps from scene to scene.
Yeah, they have three episode.
Everyone's a bit hectic and everyone's trying to get a word in. And, it's just a bit like, whoa, chill out here. And the jokes are a bit too in your face. And you, I don't know.
No,
I just
agree.
Think it used to be, like, the earlier ones I enjoyed a lot more. And now I just think, milking it a bit. I don't know. I think they need to quit while they're ahead.
I mean, there's ones that there are like four seasons that aren't even on Netflix.
Yeah.
Modern Family, I agree. If you're going to do that, if you're going to have three storylines all happening at the same time, make your episodes 45 minutes or 50 minutes. Don't make them 20 minutes. How are you supposed to tie up three intersecting storylines in 20 minutes every episode? Of course, it's going to seem rushed and hectic and insanely fast paced. Yeah, sometimes you'd have to take a little break after watching it. But I think you've tapped into something that is prevalent in all US sitcoms, which is they just don't know how to end, do they? They just don't. Like, even Big Bang Theory took so long to end. How I Met Your Mother was actually that took way too long to end as well. Like, it was getting
Oh my God. Sorry, can I just say, what did you think of the ending to How I Met Your Mother? Because I thought it was rubbish.
An entire season on one wedding. That is called milking a cow until it's dry and it's got no liquid left in its body. It's just a skeleton at that point. An entire wedding for 16 episodes. Honestly, that was terrible for me. And and then they realise, people aren't going to buy this ending, are they? That he's met the love of his life and everything's happily ever after. Because this isn't really the story of how he met the mother at all, is it? What are we going to do? This is all a ploy so you can get with Robin again. Kill me! Kill me! That was definitely not what they wanted to do at the beginning. I won't accept it. If they tried to come out and say that was our plan from the beginning, I don't believe you. Why would you build all this hype to a woman that you kill off this, like, what? She's introduced in the first or second episode of that season. So she's in about 15 or 16 episodes. Why would you kill her off straight away? We've just met the mother. This would be a great moment.
And then I just didn't get the whole Barney thing at the end. Like, he has a random baby, but then they're not together or something.
Yeah, it's like they wanted to make him. They were like, he's disgusting. He's changed completely over. Like, they kind of insinuate in that season that he's changed, can be nice. And then he becomes horrible again in that same season. And then he becomes nice again. And it's just like, what is this? Like, the end episode, I love an epilogue. I love it. And I love knowing where the characters go for years afterwards. But they were just like, here, shove 10 years into an hour. And it just doesn't work.
Mm.
We don't really see why this is happening. Barney's nice, then he's back to his normal self again, then he's really weird and nice again because of a baby. And I just, that's baffling to me. It wasn't a great ending.
No.
It really, really wasn't. I was quite disappointed when I saw it the first time. And I actually do avoid that season when I rewatch it because it's just stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy the ending. Sorry, before we end, can I just add in the end of Gavin and Stacey? Or that last episode? Can people write in and say whether they agree or not? But they just should not have done it. Last Christmas.
Oh, the Christmas one.
Yeah, it was weird and awkwardly filmed.
That awkward was just... That episode just wasn't good.
No, and there was so much hype built. I think that's what it is. The hype built up towards it. And then it came and everyone was just a bit like, oh, this is just... I don't know, it's just weird and... Yeah, they should have just kept it where... That's why... For ages, when I was younger, I really wanted a Friends reunion, but now I don't because they've left it at the perfect spot. Anything that happens now, it's bound to just, yeah.
For Gavin and Stacey, it's like Nessa and Smithy being together at the end of that made sense because like of the first time round when they ended it. I can't remember if they actually ended up together, but if they didn't, it made sense because there was this weird sexual tension between them for ages.
Mm.
And then it would have all been built up. Whereas this is one episode, so we haven't seen that sexual tension. We meet them again, and there doesn't seem to be a weird atmosphere. For me, there was nothing that portrayed to me that they were still attracted to each other, wanted to be to each other, be with each other. It just felt really forced, and like they were like, we need to cliffhanger. Smithy and Nessa need to kiss at the end so we can get the possibility of a next show. That is a story that doesn't need a new episode or a new show. It needed to end.
She proposes to him at the end.
Oh, right, there we go. The proposal.
And then it's like, oh, will he say yes?
There you go.
And it hasn't...
I remember now, the first time around, they did end up together at the end on the beach in Barrie.
Yeah, but we didn't know, it wasn't obvious whether they were just friends or not.
It looked like they were together.
I think it was on purpose that it was a bit ambiguous.
But No, that episode was bad. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it just came to my mind because I was thinking, what was that episode that came back that shouldn't have? And then I thought, Gavin and Stacey, no.
Don't know if that's a sitcom, to be fair, but...
I don't know. I think, yeah, this is what I think with British ones as well, is that it's harder to categorise them into a sitcom because they are a bit... The comedy's different and they are can be... Yeah. More than just a sitcom.
Yeah, sitcoms.
Does that mean they are still a sitcom? Whereas American ones, they're a lot more obvious, I think.
Yeah, they're like in one studio, clearly. Like, yeah. They have two or three sets, and they only use them. Like in The Big Bang Theory, you go to university, for Sheldon and Ellen's apartment, Penny / whoever's apartment it is on the other side. That's it. That is the storyline. Those are the sets, the three sets. Whereas, yeah, in the UK, they move around a little bit more. We're just about running out of time, actually. The time has flown. We're about the 58-minute mark. I think I want to wrap this up. I would like to do this again, but obviously I don't know if we'll have enough time. We'll see. Maybe we'll do a little half-an-hour addendum at some point, wrapping up our thoughts and feelings, because I think there's a number of other things we could talk about. And I feel like I've been quite negative. I actually do like sitcoms quite a lot. But also, I want to end on this. One I don't like, which I just thought of, which is British, is Mrs. Brown Boys.
Oh, I don't like that.
That is a comedy. If you like that and you're listening to this, never, ever, ever listen to this show ever, ever again, because you will learn nothing. Nothing zilchio. Because Mrs. Brown Boys is terrible. And you're just stupid, okay? You're just stupid.
Can I just end on one question for you?
Yeah, very quickly.
Do you like the audience laughter in the shows, or do you prefer it without?
Do I like laughter track? No, I think it's a bit... It's really fake and stupid. I don't like it at all. What about you?
Okay. I like it, and I think it's genuine, because they have the studio performances.
Okay, there we go then. Mrs. Brown's Boys fan there, clearly. Right, see you guys next week. Bye-bye.